On such purpose, Scripture, we are thankful to God that we again have the privilege of bringing His precious word to an unseen audience. In speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we knew so well, the Apostle Peter explains, "And ye therefore which believe, He is precious." Precious is a commercial term, meaning faithful. Men are ever seeking precious things, and paying great prices to secure them. The prospector journeys to unhold our treasures, and suffers untold hardships in his search for precious metals. Two things are essential to preciousness, rarity and quality. If diamonds were numerous as ordinary pebbles, they would be much less expensive. But quality as well as rarity is necessary to give value. Some stones may be very rare, and yet of little value because they lack quality. Though rare, no one wants them. The same law holds in respect to people. In times of crisis, the nation places great value on certain leaders because the extraordinary qualities of leadership which they possess are exceedingly rare. America had 10 million men under arms in the Second World War, yet claimed but one Eisenhower and had but a single MacArthur. Why is the Lord Jesus said that he precious? Because he too is rare. There is none like him. He is the only begotten of the Father. His is the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He stands in mere possessor superlative quality. His holiness is absolute, his justice unquestionable, his knowledge past finding out. Infinite power belongs to him, and his love is as great and vast as his power. Truly, he is the fairest among 10,000, the one altogether lovely. For no mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fair is he than all the fair that fill his heavenly praise. The multitudes on earth, and perhaps to some listening to this message, Christ is not precious. Like some of old, they see no beauty in him that they should desire him. They place no value upon him because they do not believe on him. As ye therefore that believe, he is precious, our text declares. An article may possess both rarity and quality, and yet be valueless to some, because they have no faith in it. May we illustrate this fact by two stories. One day, when but a boy, I was working with my twin brother on my father's farm. We saw something sparkling in the sunlight and picked it up. It was a glass-like stone about the size of a pizza. We showed it to a very illiterate and ignorant hired man, nicknamed Manny, and inquired, "Manny, what is this?" He looked at it for a moment, and then uttered a word which made our boy's heart leap with excitement. It's a diamond. Immediately there passed before our vivid imagination a panorama of bicycles, baseballs, bats, gloves, guns, fishing tackle, and a hundred other articles dear to the heart of an American boy. We had some idea of the value of diamonds, but a friend of our mother had recently visited our home. On the left hand, this lady wore a diamond, which Mother told us had cost her husband, and before he was her husband, nearly $400. And now we had a diamond many, many times larger, and doubtless worth thousands of dollars. At noon we ran home, and he rushed desperately into the kitchen exclaiming, "Mother, Mother, we found a diamond, we found a diamond. Mommy says it's a diamond." We were a little surprised that Mother received with an unusual degree of calmness the announcement that diamonds had been discovered on her property. "Let me see it," was her quiet reply. We placed the precious stone in her hand. She examined it a moment, and then looking into our eager faces, said, "Boy, I'm sorry to tell you that it's not a diamond, but only a piece of quartz." Vanished with our juvenile dream of riches, crashed with our air castles into ruins. A moment before the stone was precious, now we threw it out because our faith in it was shattered. Now for the second story. Many years ago, a weary traveler in South Africa stopped to rest for a few moments by a native house. He watched the children building a playhouse with stones. He noticed that some of the stones sparkled in the sunlight with unusual brilliance. He picked up several of the glittering stones and gave a few small coins to the parents of the children, who were amazed at the liberality of the stranger. He then rushed to the nearest town and took the stones to an assayer, who, on examining them, shouted, "Man, where did you find them? They are diamonds." And thus, the great diamond industry of that country was started. The story scarcely needs application. In the first, we have great faith in an unworthy object and a disappointment. In the second, the native children were playing with real diamonds, but were living in poverty because they did not believe in their value. Faith or lack of it did not change the stones in either story, but it did change the attitude towards the stones. So, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, He will become infinitely precious to you. Faith will fulfill the prayer expressed in the line, "Lord Jesus, make thyself to me a living, bright reality, more pleasant to face vision see than any earthly object see, more dear, more intimately nigh than even the closest earthly tie." When Peter spoke of the preciousness of Jesus to the believers, he was speaking out of a full heart and from wide experience in this blessed person. Here we notice several ways in which Christ was precious to Peter. When brought to the Lord Jesus by his brother Andrew, Simon came to know Christ precious as his Savior. He received from the Lord a new name, Cephas or Peter, meaning a stone. But he also received a new nature which enabled him to answer in character to that name. One act of faith in the same Savior whom Peter trusted will result in you receiving a new name, Christian, and a new nature as well. Then no one in all the universe will be as precious to you or to your soul as the one who has become your Savior for time and for eternity. On another occasion when the Lord Jesus needed a purpose from which to address the multitude, he entered into Peter's boat and immediately assumed control. Peter surrendered his ship, his service, his success, and finally himself to the Son of God, and then came to know him precious as his sovereign. One reason why Christ is not more precious to many professing Christians is that they have not bowed to his sovereign claim and have not left all to follow him. The next incident occurred on a dark night. The wind was tempestuous and the waves rolling high. The troubled disciples in the storm-tossed boat saw their Lord walking toward them on the water. It was Peter who said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee." Back across the waves came the reassuring word, "Come." With nothing more substantial than one word from the lips of Christ, could he have had anything more substantial than one word from him by whom the world was saved? Peter left the boat and began to walk with Jesus on the water. Obeying that word and with eyes fixed upon the Blessed One, all was well. But when Peter's eyes fell on the stormy waves, he began to sink. In response to his importunate cry, "Lord, save me," the hand that had formed the universe reached out and took hold of wavering, sinking Peter, and he came to know Christ's pleasure as the deliverer from doubt and danger. Many souls in these troublesome times are looking at the winds and waves which beat with increasing fury around them and forget to look unto him who promised to be with his own even unto the end of the age. The facts connected with Peter's denial of his Lord are well known. Self-confidence, resulting in carelessness, his seeing and following afar off, then resisting in the energy of the flesh when the Lord was submitting, next warming himself at a fire which the enemies of Christ had kindled, and finally the threefold denial emphasized by words of blasphemy. Truly one who had fallen so low was beyond all hope of recovery. This would be doubtless, thus would we doubtless have used the own disciple. But the Lord, in pitying grace, came and looked on Peter with the effect that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Simon could never forget that night when Christ became precious as a restorer of his soul. My friend, that same Savior stands ready to restore this day all wonders who will repent and return to him. We now stand by another fire, which the Lord had kindled on the shore of Galilee. There Peter came to know his Lord as a half-traitor, upon whose knowledge and mercy he cast himself with utter abandonment, as if saying, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Then was the restored disciple recommissioned and told to feed the lambs and shepherd the sheep. There may be a new commission for some backslidden Christian listening to this program. If you, like Peter, cast yourself upon the boundless grace of Christ, and finally, the Lord Jesus is precious as the glory of death of the those who trust him, hear the words of Peter, now the angel, that rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad with exceeding joy. The joys of earth will vanish like mist before the rising sun. The glory of Christ will abide forever. May all our hopes of glory be centered in him who is the Lord of glory. All the precious of trusting and knowing and loving him. This is George Orlando speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.